Truth, Both Big and Small. Written by the Seaworthy Muffin, read by Maggie Jolly. Summary. Arthur knows about Merlin's magic. He shouldn't have anything left to be shocked about. But Merlin is supposed to be fluffy and quirky and adorable and harmless and launder clothes and polish armor with his magic. Merlin is most definitely not supposed to call lightning from the sky or blast bandits to oblivion or actually be a capable sorcerer by any means. Arthur is not ready for this. Arthur simply gapes, reveling at the feel of cool air over his chafed wrists. A dream, just a dream, just a very, very strange dream. What? Merlin throws his hands up in the air, face and other study in bafflement. What did I do wrong now? Arthur has always known that there was something not quite ordinary about Merlin. He couldn't have said what exactly it was, those blue eyes a little too bright, the glitter of his smile the slightest bit too ethereal, the prickle of his arms when Merlin is around just a tad too electric for it to have been anything else. So when he catches this idiot of a manservant lying back on his bed, Arthur's bed, thank you very much, and Merlin hasn't even bothered to take his dirty boots off. Watching Arthur's clothes fold himself, Arthur is surprisingly unrattled. He sighs, backs away, and closes the door as quietly as he can. Of course Merlin has magic. Of course he uses it to do his chores. Arthur should have figured. Merlin has all the deadliness of a fluffy little stoat. Of course his magic would be of the fluffy and harmless sort as well, instead of the deadly, evil, fireball-throwing variety Arthur has been growing a bit too accustomed to of late. The fact that his manservant is a secret traitor hiding in plain sight shouldn't have been as endearing as it was. But it is, and Arthur, incensed, makes sure to give Merlin an extra long list of chores the next day. Leech tank and mucking stables proudly taking the top spot of honor. Serves him right, Arthur thinks, as Merlin grumbles off to do whatever he does when Arthur is being a bigger prat than usual. Merlin's words, not his. Arthur cannot imagine why, by the love of God, such a magnanimous master as he could ever be called that way. The thing is, the fact that Merlin hasn't trusted Arthur with this hurts way more than it should, and Arthur can be petty enough when the occasion calls for it. This, Arthur supposes, most certainly does. Being the kind man that he is, Arthur lets Merlin know that he knows, after letting him stew for about 3 more days or so. I figured there was something up with you. Why didn't you tell me? Arthur gives Merlin a look, and he deflates sheepish. All right, I suppose I don't really have the right to be upset at you about that. When did you find out? Arthur pauses a moment, then another. Arthur really shouldn't be enjoying Merlin's flustered expression as much as he is. Well, you see, Merlin, when you use your magic to skive off your chores, Merlin curses under his breath, I knew I should have locked the door. The image that rises unbidden to Arthur's head is actually rather adorable. Merlin lounging on the bed, red neckerchief askew, lips drawn up in a smile as the things in Arthur's room zoom about polishing themselves. Is that how it works? Well, Arthur shouldn't know. Not enough magic around to watch and learn for one. And do what? Arthur teases. Polish my boots, fold my clothes, a pause, dust my bed. Merlin groans, a suspicious sheen of moisture in his eyes. Oh my gods, he says. I should have known you'd be such a prat about it. Oi, it's your prince you're talking about right here. Arthur puts Merlin into a swift headlock, short curls chafing against the fabric of his tunic. Arthur, you gigantic, Merlin squirms, huffing out a hot breath against Arthur's forearm. No use. Arthur is a knight of Camelot, trained against the most distracting of situations. Let me go! Oh what? Arthur smirks smug. Use your you-know-what to escape. Merlin, honest to goodness, bites his arm to get away. The bandits, Arthur thinks, shifting against his bonds, had actually been rather intelligent this time around. They even had a fortress in the middle of the woods, which was saying something. A pang of hurt races through his wrists where a bandit had kicked it, and Arthur winces. Merlin. Arthur should have been there to protect him. He shouldn't have let that last bandit get behind him and knock him out. Normally, Arthur would be the last person to be worried about a sorcerer's well-being. Because why worry when you know they could just wave their hands about and whisper some gibberish and send people flying through the air? But it's Merlin they're talking about here. Merlin who trips over thin air, who uses his magic to do chores, who couldn't kill a fly to save his own bloody life, and Arthur is sodding terrified. Then there's a gigantic boom like thunder. A blinding streak of lightning arcs through the ceiling, sending half his jailers flying and the other half sprawling on the ground. The smell of charred cloth and electricity permeates the air, and then another earth-shattering boom and a door, ironclad, probably thicker than Arthur's head, is torn clean off its hinges. The dust clears and Arthur sees a lone slim figure backlit against a background of wreckage all about him. Golden sparks crackling off his skin like a cup filled to the brim, overflowing. Arthur spots a familiar red neckerchief and blinks. Merlin! Ah, Arthur! His idiot of a manservant, who apparently is powerful enough to take on half a dozen men without a sweat, who apparently can call bloody lightning from the sky, scampers over towards him, wide smile on his face. There you are! You know, it's so much easier when I don't have to keep hiding and thinking of excuses anymore. Arthur? Arthur blinks again. This isn't real. He's probably dreaming. The pheasant they'd had around the campfire last night had seemed the slightest bit off. Maybe it had some hallucination-inducing toxin in it, or something. Heaven knows what may be wrong with these wild animal types. Merlin waves his hand in front of Arthur's face. Arthur? Sire? You all right? Arthur jokes, feeling inexplicably betrayed. You do your chores with magic, he coughs out, gesturing best as he can with two bound hands. You fold my laundry and polish my armor. I could do it by hand from now on, Merlin ventures, eyeing him strangely. Arthur wonders if his manservant is really that thick, if he doesn't realize what a shock this evening has been to Arthur. As if realizing his idiot, yes, his, Arthur is going to be honest with himself now, can probably blow the entire citadel apart with the thought hasn't been much of a surprise. Arthur snaps his mouth shut and glares at him. No, he grumbles, and let me go. Don't be such a grouch, Merlin grumbles, letting his eyes flash gold. Arthur's chains fall useless to his feet. And don't they usually need words for things like this? Should have just let you rot if I'd known you'd be so ungrateful. Arthur simply gapes, reveling at the feel of cool air over his chafed wrists. A dream. Just a dream. Just a very, very strange dream. What? Merlin throws his hands up in the air, face in utter study and bafflement. What did I do wrong now?